hope you had a good night rest and a time to reflect on what was shared yesterday. You had the time to ponder, to consider if those things were true. And so thank you for joining us again today, because if you are just run off with what was shared yesterday, the last episode, it will just be like just going, getting through it halfway. And that is just synonymous to half truth. And it's good you are here today to continue what we shared yesterday. And so today we'll be growing deeper into the sea to net some other bundles of meat surrounding giving, sacrificial offerings, first fruit offering, and the likes. And yesterday we raised a critical question asking if your pastor has earned the right to receive offering, to raise offering, using a couple of scriptures from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. So if you are offended about what we shared yesterday, you know, we are not promising not to offend you again and re-offend. But we are trusting the Lord we will to communicate this truth that needs to be told in love. And so today, before we go to another aspect of this giving, I would like you to, in a minute or two, recapture the essence of what was shared yesterday to remind our viewers where we stop, so that they can understand the basis of where we're going today, and to just maybe to juggle our memory on these things.
Now, viewers all over the world, welcome to another episode of the Knockout Series. This Knockout Series 6. Well, we've actually laid a foundation yesterday for those who were with us live on this series. And the foundation we laid yesterday was this. We did say that according to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, before the Apostle Paul began to teach the Corinthian brethren about giving, he made a very critical statement. And the statement was, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that even though he was rich, yet for his sake he became poor, so that we through his poverty might become rich. And he made this statement as a precursor to teaching them on giving. And so the question we raised is, can you then, no one has the right to teach on the notion of giving unless they present it on the basis or the foundation of the grace of God. And the reason why, this all made a conclusion about, the reason why the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit began to teach on giving from the perspective of God's grace is because there's a whole different perspective in which giving can be looked at, and that's the perspective of the law. And we saw that yesterday. So the big question is, are you understanding giving, or are you executing giving, or are you carrying out giving in the church on the basis of the grace of God, or on the basis of the law? And whichever one you do would actually show forth in how you experience the benefits of God in your life. So in summary, we said, giving can only be thought on the perspective of grace from the new covenant perspective. That's what we established yesterday, and that's it. So today, we will carry on, because see, the question that arises yesterday, which we need to answer today, is a very simple one. Not simple, I wouldn't say that too simple. It's a bit complicated, but I believe it's simple in the Holy Ghost. And the question is, if the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, that basically, on the foundation of the poverty of Jesus, that's the guarantee you have for your own richness. Now, the Apostle Paul was saying this to people that he was going to teach to give, the Corinthian brethren. So the question you want to ask then is, if through the poverty of Jesus Christ, we were made rich, then what is the reason why we have to give in the body of Christ? You know, don't forget one thing. The reason why this question we are asking is paramount is because the reason why most people or most ministers teach for reason to give is they teach people, if you give, you can be blessed. In fact, they always say, you want to break to the next level of abundance, you want to break to the next level of financial prosperity, then you need to give up to that level. Now, don't forget, you see, the Apostle Paul sounds like a very bad salesman. Very bad salesman. You know why? How can you tell people that you want to actually encourage to give? You are telling them already they are rich. So if people are rich already just because of the poverty of Jesus Christ, just because we have everything we have at the expense of Christ, then the big question arises, which is what we're going to answer today. Why then do I need to give? And let's see the scriptures answer that for us. Now, let's go straight to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 that we began to explore since yesterday.
Okay.
Now, we're going to go, I'm going to read from verse 1, 2 Corinthians 8, 1. Don't forget, the question we are asking is, why then do I need to give if through the poverty of Jesus I was already made rich. Now, 2 Corinthians 8:1 says, "Moreover, brethren, we do to you with of the grace of God that was bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." So Paul was telling the Corinthian church that, don't you notice there was a grace of God at work in the Macedonian brethren? And it says, "Out that in a great trial of affliction, in abundance, and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty has abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they are willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Now, what the Apostle Paul is simply saying, and I'll read verse 6 and verse 7 before we actually talk about this. "Inasmuch that we desire Titus that he has begun to do, so he will finish in you the same grace also." Now, keep watching the word, "the same grace also." So Paul said, there's a grace at work in the Macedonian brethren. And Paul said, "I wish to see the same grace at work in you." Now look at verse 7. This is the classical verse there. It says, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything." Watch this. Paul said, "As ye abound in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see ye abound in this grace also." What the first reason is given them to give, it says, the reason you have to give is because I want you to abound in this grace. Now, let's break this down. Watch this. He didn't say, "I want you to give so you can get the grace." Now, this is very critical. Please, I think, you see, in the body of Christ, I think so many people read the Bible like somebody that's got dyslexia. You know, some people, they read some of this is backwards. You know, when you give, for example, if you put G-O-D, they can ask D-O-G. Now, for example, when we read the Bible, there are times we misplace the context of the scripture. If you notice, the Apostle Paul did not say that I'm asking you to give so that you can get the grace of God. This is what people teach, and it's not scriptural. It's not in the Bible. It's not the word of God. That is the tradition of men. You don't give so that the grace of God can come into your life. That's not what it said. The first reason the Apostle Paul gave you, the first motivation now, he said, if you give, look at what it says. I think I need to read it in context in the verse. It says, "Therefore, as you abound in everything," it says, "see that you abound in this grace." The word "abounding" is the word "manifestation." Now, that's a lot different from getting something. It means, abound means, I want you to show it forth. I want you to prove it. I want you to manifest that which you have. Now, I'll say this. This sounds very similar to what Jesus told that woman in John chapter 4. Jesus said to the woman who came to the well of Samaria, Jesus said, if you keep coming to this well, you will always thirst again. But he said, the water I'm going to give to you. Now watch this. It will be like a spring welling up to what? It means I'll put something in you that would manifest itself. I'll put something in you that will show forth itself. So what the Apostle Paul was simply saying is, you have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the grace of God at work in your life already. Whether you give or you don't give, you have the grace of God at work in you. The favor of God is at work in your life. But it says, when you give, what happens is you abound. It means you are simply saying you are demonstrating the fact that you have the grace of God in your life. Now, that's, you might say, is that a semantics? Is it not the same thing? It's not the same thing. There's a big difference. The big difference is whether you give or you don't give, you have the grace of God. That's a lot different from people saying, give so that God's grace and favor can come upon your life. That's a big difference in both scenarios. So what I'm simply saying is, it's an opportunity for you to demonstrate. Now, this is very important because if you were with us on our last series, the Prodigal Father series, we made the same assertion when it comes to living right. We simply said, we don't live right so that we can become righteous. And the question we did ask then was very critical. The question was, we simply said, how many sins does a sinner need to commit to become a sinner? And the answer to that question in Romans chapter 5 is there's nothing. Because the Bible says Adam sinned and disobeyed. And what? It said sin. It said because of Adam's disobedience, sin came upon all men and death by sin. So this is the doctrine of sin. It means you don't need to do anything bad to be evil. People were born into sin because of the fallen nature of Adam. And the same question arises, how many righteous acts do you need to perform to be righteous? The answer simply is zero. Because if you are born in Christ, you were born into righteousness. Now by the same revelation, we're talking about giving today. It's the same understanding. How much given do you need to give in church to have the grace of God in your life? Nothing. How much money How much currency do you need to release to get the grace of God in your life? It's nothing. It means simply, the Apostle Paul is saying that I'm not saying give to get the grace of God. I'm only saying that you have the grace of God in your life already. And when you give, you demonstrate the fact that you understand that you have the grace of God in your life. I'm only asking for a manifestation of that grace. So that's the very first reason why we give. We give because we know that we have the grace of God. We are blessed of God. You see, the fact is, the Bible talks about faith and works. And this is a very good question. And this is a very good thing to talk about. Because, you see, giving must have the right foundation. Now, the question you want to ask is, does it matter then? If I give without understanding the fact that I have the grace of God in my life, does it matter how I give? Let's see what the scripture has to say. Don't forget, we are still on the very first reason for giving. We give because we want to abound in the grace of God. We want to demonstrate the fact that we have the grace of God. So if anybody tells you in 2017 and says, hey, you have to give the first fruit, you have to give this and give that so that God can release his grace upon your life today, on this year, you can simply tell them, hey, mister, the Bible says I only give so that I can abound in the grace that I already have. Now let's say this quickly. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 and see what this is all about. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 and see this. We're still clarifying this particular fourth motivation for giving. We give because we know we have the grace of God in our life, and we are demonstrating it for people to see that we know that God has blessed us. Now, 1 Corinthians 13, let's see what this talks about giving. And let's see what kind of revelation we can glean from 1 Corinthians 13. Now, look at this. Now, read from verse 2. Now, it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and even though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. See what it says? It said, and I have not love. You see, I have not love. It says, I'm nothing. Now, let's read verse 3. Now, watch this. Look at verse 3. Now, verse 3 says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, that is given. That is given. Now, this is not some of my goods. This is, he said, I give everything I have to the poor. Can you see that? Everything, 100%, you know, that's it. And though I give my body to be burned and I have not love, it doesn't profit me anything. What is this simply trying to say? What it's simply trying to say is that you can give without understanding the grace of God. People can give without the foundation of God's love. And the Bible says when you give without that right foundation, it profits you nothing. Okay. Now, basically put, it means then for people that pressurize, ministers that pressurize people to give just for the sake of giving, it is completely unscriptural. Because God is not as interested in your giving as he's interested in the fact that your giving was born out of the revelation of grace of God in your life. Let's say that again. So your giving must be given out of the revelation of the grace of God. If you give without God's revelation of his grace in your life, the Bible simply says it profits you what? Mm-hmm. Nothing. It's irrelevant. It makes no sense. That, see, God doesn't need your thousands, your millions of pounds or dollars or naira or whatever it is. What is much more important to God is, do you know you have the grace of the Lord in your life? Do you know God's favor is upon your life? Do you know that God's goodness is already upon you? Do you know that you're already walking in God's season for your life? And if you know that, do you want to just demonstrate that to show people? For example, a dog, we always act like a dog. A blessed man, we always act as a what? As a blessed man. A man that is so favored, we act as a favored man. So when I give, I'm simply saying I'm favored already. Because I'm favored and because I'm blessed, I'm going to bless others. That's why there was a covenant upon Abraham. You see, when God spoke to Abraham in Genesis, God said, I will make you a blessing. I will bless you and make you what? A blessing. It means every time Abraham was blessing people, it means he says, oh God, I know you told me that you will bless me and make me a what? A blessing. So when a man is blessed, when a man is graced, what he does is say, you know what? Because I'm graced and I'm so blessed, I'm going to be a blessing. So I'm going to be a blessing because I know I was blessed. And this is the first reason, the first motivation that we have in the new covenant to give. We give because we know we have the grace of God, and we are only giving to demonstrate to people that we are graced already. And that's the first reason we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 7. Let's go back again to see the other reason and the other motivation that drives us in the new covenant. So now what we've established today, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. So now if you're listening to this, what we've established up to now is we don't give to get the grace of God. We don't do that. We give because we have the grace of God. Now let's quickly move to the second reason, the second motivation under the new covenant for which we have to give. Now I'm going to take you straight to chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. And let's see what the apostolic revelation is in this chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. I'm going to take it from verse 4. Now we have to actually debunk some myths at this stage. We have to actually knock out some erroneous mentality at this stage concerning giving. Now see what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 from verse 5. I'll read. Now it says, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that it should go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. Can you see that? Wherefore you had noticed before that the same might be ready. Now as a matter of bounty, not as a matter of covetousness. Can you see that? He says, can you see again? He says, Paul said there to the Corinthian brethren, I've asked some people to make some gatherings, so gather some resources from you. But it says, what is important really is not as a matter of bounty. I repeat, you know what bounty means? It means abundance. Paul said it's not about the fact that it's not a volume of what you have to give that matters. It's about the fact that it's not coming from the spirit of what? Covetousness. That again, we come back to the foundation. It's very critical to God, the reason why you're giving. In fact, let me say this, and I think everyone needs to listen to this. Paul said, if I give all my goods. Now, all means 100%. If I give all my goods to the poor, and it's not coming from the revelation of love, Paul said, let's just come to the conclusion, it's nothing. It profits nothing. It's irrelevant. Now, again, we see the same understanding in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, from verse 5. It says, it's not about the bounty. That's not the issue.
Not about the volume.
It's not the volume. It's not about the double negative 1,000 or 2,000. I see ministers saying today, you know what?
Or the currency.
In fact, people talk about the fact that you need to sow up, which means the fact that, you know one thing, if you're expecting God to bless you in the order of thousands, you should be given thousands. If you have to leave the realm of 100 and go to the realm of 1,000, or leave the realm of 1,000 and go to the realm of 10,000.
Different currency.
Now, these are people focusing on bounty. And Paul said, hey, my Corinthian brethren, we're not talking about, it's not about bounty here. It's about what matters is this is not being done out of covetousness. And we will see the reason. You see, have you noticed that in the new covenant, motivation is more important than the act? Mm-hmm. I repeat. You see, under the old covenant, people ask questions. Why is the old covenant different from the new covenant? This is the reason. Under the old covenant, the action is more important than the motivation. Under the New Testament, in the blood of Jesus Christ, the motivation is more critical than the action. That's the reason why, you see, have you noticed that you have some people who are not Christians, who are not born again, but they have moral, if not much more moral, than many Christians. But can you see that? But the Bible says it's not accepted, because it says all our righteousness, they are feature acts before God. God is not interested in the person who is highly moral, as long as his morality is not born out of the price that Christ paid on the cross. It's irrelevant to God. So you need to understand, in the new covenant, in the blood of Jesus, the motivation or the source of what you're doing is much as much important as the action. And that's the reason why God told Adam, you know, I think we need to digress at that point. When Adam, in the Garden of Eden, he told God, he said, I heard your voice in the cool of the garden, and I went to hide myself
because
I was naked. And you would think God would say, oh, wonderful. It was great that you knew you were naked. Oh, thank God you knew your situation. Thank God I didn't have to convince you you were naked. No, God said, who told you? God said, what was the source
of your information?
That's as important to me. And you see, in this same way, the Apostle Paul is simply saying, even if I give all my goods to the poor and it's not coming out of the revelation of God's love, he said, it's nothing. It's irrelevant. Again, we see the place in 2 Corinthians 9:5. He said, it's not about the bounty. It's not about the volume. It's not about the size. It's about the fact that it's not coming out of a covetous spirit. Now, take note of that. That's very important.
So that means so many offerings, gatherings, and raisings are born out of covetousness.
Out of covetousness, you know, trying to do.
So hop is either on the part of who is raising it and the person who wants to participate. You see, fight of covetousness. Who wants to sow hop? They use that as a bait. Covetousness as a bait. Sowing up to this. So they're using it, and the other part, both parties are guilty of this. That's out of bounty, out of covetousness, you see all those things. If you want in this currency, you give into this.
So that's the reason. I think that one of the reasons why there's a drive in the body of Christ today to give outside of grace is because of this covetousness. Giving outside of grace because people are driven by a different spirit.
And like yesterday, we really established that there is no vacuum in this. Anybody that will not lay and not bring the bedrock of of grace. Before they teach you, you just have to substitute it with something, like covetousness. So you see anybody that is not using this, is not promoting the giving under the background of God's grace, will actually have to be on the platform
under
of covetousness. So you need to watch the platform. Where are they standing on? Are they standing on this revelation, or they are standing on covetousness?
And that's why our teaching yesterday was, does your pastor, has he earned the right to raise an offering? That's the word we said yesterday. It means that the Bible says before any giving can be talked about, 2 Corinthians 8:9 says it must be spoken under the foundation of the grace of God.
And so today, yesterday was about the people that are raising the offering, but today we are focusing, I think this verse is focusing on the people giving the offering today, to see that they are not coming to giving the offering on the platform of covetousness. You just have to stand on that grace too, and abandon that grace.
And I think there's something you just talked about, which is also what we need to really look at. It's about the response. You see, your response,
must be in the knowledge of the grace.
What's the basis of our response? Like we said, Adam's response, the basis was wrong. Even though he was naked, God rejected the basis because of the source of his information was from the flesh. So it matters in the kingdom of God, our response. Where is the driving force of our response? Anytime anybody teaches on giving in the church and you give your money, you need to ask yourself a question. What is the basis for your response? What drives your response?
What am I responding to?
Why am I responding? Why am I giving?
Righteousness, or I'm responding to the grace of God.
Am I giving because I know that I'm already blessed? I'm already graced by God. I'm already loaded with the daily benefits of the Lord. Psalm 68, he said, the God who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Am I giving because I know I'm blessed? And as a blessed man, I'm meant to be a blessing to others. That is the correct drive in the spirit.
Or you are giving on the platform of saying that, I just need to give, just like they have said it, so that I can get more, so I can get to another level. You know, that is another way.
That's why it says.
Psalm 68 was telling us, this God, if you understand this revelation of the grace of God, he daily loads us. It's as much as you can carry. It's a load of his benefits. So if you understand that fully well, and your response is based on that revelation, it's quite different from somebody giving in the road that he might buy his way up.
And I think we need to say this, which is very important. Anytime we talk about the grace of God, I think it sounds a bit most times vague to people. But I think we have to really use simple terms. Now, simply put, it means you getting what you don't deserve. I'll say it again. It means what you get from God has nothing to do with your performance. That's what is called the grace of God. That's why the Bible says in Romans 5 that while we were yet sinners, can you see that? Christ died for the ungodly. It means you wouldn't even deserve it. We didn't even have what it takes. We were yet sinners. We were yet down and out. Christ died for us. That's grace. It means everything that actually came upon you at salvation has nothing to do with your performance. So there's no way then you can say you want to sow up, or you want to sow your seed so that you can move to the higher level of blessings in God. That is rubbishing the grace of God. And that's what it says there.
And if you understand what we just said, you just say it doesn't matter whether you give or you don't give. You're already blessed.
That's why the Apostle Paul says,
it might look somehow, but that is the truth. You're already blessed if you are following what we're sharing. You know, we are not just saying the words of our
Galatians 3:13, we said that yesterday.
So it doesn't matter the amount or how often or how regular or whatever you sow. Whether you sow or you choose not to sow, you're already blessed based on what the scriptures are saying.
That's the point. And now let's say this. So if you're already blessed, 2 Corinthians 8:7 then tells us that the reason why we give them is to demonstrate to people that you're blessed.
Blessed already.
That's the word. That's why he says about Abraham, he said, I will bless you and make you a blessing. So if you're blessed, you demonstrate that you're blessed, but you don't give so that you can be blessed. Yes. And I think that's very critical for everyone to understand. And that's how God sees it. And we need to see it that way. Mm-hmm. So that's the point. Now, you see, this on verse 5, 2 Corinthians 9:5, it tells us, not as a matter of bounty and not as a matter of covetousness. And look at verse 6. Please, we're going to take this really slowly, because there's so much meat in this 2 Corinthians 9:6. Because now the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is going to revolutionize how we think about the reason why we give. Okay. Now again, let's go. He said, but these I say. Can you see? But these I say.
Oh, you need to listen to that but.
He said, but these I say. Now you see that. Now, can you see that? He says that. Now look at verse 5 again before we go to verse 6. In verse 5, he says that the same might be ready, that's the giving, as a matter of bounty, not as a matter of what? Covetousness. But now, he said, but. Now, the reason we use but is to tell people that You know, in verse 5, I told you to get everything ready in terms of giving. Mm-hmm. In verse 5, I told you to prepare everything to give. But it means before you run off, wait, you need to listen to this.
Yeah.
There's a but there. Now, see what it says? But as I say, now it says, he which sows sparingly. Now, the reason why I said we're going to slow down at this stage is this has become one of the hallmarks of most people who try to rubbish the grace of God by using giving. This as one of their hallmark scriptures. And we need to break down these scriptures in the Holy Ghost. That's what we're going to slow down at this stage.
Yeah.
He says, but this I say, he which sows sparingly. And I'm happy we're on this verse today. The reason is, I know what we've been saying yesterday, that the Bible says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's Galatians 3:13. By becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that is hung on a tree, so that the blessings of Abraham might come to us Gentiles. When we said that yesterday, that just because of Christ's redemption, because Christ became a curse, that is the only reason, not one of the reasons, that is the only reason Galatians 3:13 gives for the blessing of Abraham coming into your life. Now, when we said that, some people have questions and say, hey, how is that true? Because does the Bible not say that if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly? If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. Does the Bible not say that? So why are you saying, does the Bible not say that the more I give, the more I can become blessed? Now, this is the clarification. So we're going to slow it down so everybody can get this in the Holy Ghost. Now, see what it says. It says, but this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, verse 7. Now, look at this. It says, every man according as he has purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let's bring out the key words in this 2 Corinthians chapter 9, from verse 5 to verse 7. These are the key words, and I'm going to outline them one by one. Number one, he says in verse 5, the last phrase in verse 5 says, not as of covetousness. Now, if you have other translations, if you have the Living Bible, if you have the Good News Bible, if you have the Message Bible, you would notice that most of them translated the word covetousness into different form. In fact, the Living Bible says, not as of pleasure.
Hmm.
Not as of pleasure. That's what it called. It means it's saying that it shouldn't that be a given was because you were pressured. That's what the Living Bible says. You can read it if you have that translation. And the original Greek word actually that was used for that covetousness is the word that implied that somebody was pushed. Somebody was actually forced to do something. Now, listen, what the Apostle Paul is simply saying then in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 9 is, if you were pressured, if you were pushed, if you were driven by any other means to give. Now, the reason why somebody can be pressured is simply because they don't understand the grace of God.
No.
Now, let's say this clearly. Now, the reason I'm saying this is, I know we all know John chapter 3, verse 16. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave. But I think one of the verses of the scripture that is not so clear to people is 1 John 3:16. It's not as popular as John 3:16. I'm going to quote 1 John 3:16. Now listen to what 1 John 3:16 says. It says, hearing perceive we the love of God. He said, this is how we perceive God's love. Now you see, perception of God's love. He said, we can see that love. We understand what God's love is. He said, hearing perceive we the love of God, that he, that's Jesus, laid down his life for us. Now, what's the next phrase? It says, so we also ought to lay down our life for the brethren. Simple. It's simply saying, because we understand how much sacrifice Christ gave, that Christ emptied himself and made himself of no reputation. He said, out of that revelation, we just found out that we just simply cannot but lay down our life for the brethren. It means all we do in the Christian fold is just a response to what Christ did. Again, God doesn't want you to act. And I'll say this again. God doesn't want your Christian life to be a life of action. God wants your Christian journey to be a life of response.
Yes.
I'll repeat. The Christian life is not a life of action. Where you take initiative. Where you say, you know what, I think I need to live right. I think I need to give. I think I need to do this. No. God says, I'm not going to take that kind of response, that kind of sacrifice from you. The only sacrifice that God accepts is if your sacrifice was born out of the revelation of Christ that you have. If you're saying, oh, if Christ could give his life for me, if Christ could sacrifice everything, and Bible says you understand that love. That's why you receive that love into your heart. That love is in your spirit. Out of that love, response is naturally come. There are natural responses. And that's why we simply said, if you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you know what you have in you, if you know you're a blessed person, if you know you are blessed like God told Abraham, you will want to be what?
A blessing.
It's a response. God only takes your response. So the Apostle Paul is simply saying that if people are being pressured to give, if people are being pressured to give, it means then that they are going to give out of a different response. They are given out of a different motivation. They are given out of a different drive. And God says that's not acceptable. So that's why he said, watch this. In the next verse 6, he then said, if you sow sparingly, if you read the Living Bible, they will say, if you sow under pressure, if you sow stingily. Now, people are thinking, see how ministers teach this, 2 Corinthians 9, 6. They will say, if you sow 1,000, you will get in the order of 1,000. If you sow in the order of 10,000, you will get reward in the order of 10,000. Is this what this man is saying? Now, let's see. Don't forget the last phrase. The last phrase was says, don't give out of covetousness. Don't give out of pressure. Don't give out of a wrong drive. Always make sure that when you give, it's born out of the love and the grace of God. That's what he said. Then look at the next verse. Now, let's take this slowly. Then after he said that, he said, well, if you then sow under pressure. Now, because when we say sparingly, the word sparingly, the original Greek word, because I did a study on that Greek word, is when you sow under pressure. He said, if you sow, you know, if you have a pipe, if the pipe has a narrow, diameter, orifice, what happens is if you want to pass anything through that pipe, it's going to be it's going to be a big push. You
pressure.
It wouldn't go through properly.
Yes.
You have to drive it.
This is the first thing.
Yeah. You have to drive it. You have to move it. I'm probably saying, well, if it comes down to the fact that you're given, is because there's a bit of a pressure. You have to drive it through the narrow.
Much force.
Sparingly, it's not coming out. Somebody has to push it through that narrow, that spot. Is that called sparingly? That tiny hole. If your giving comes all the way to that, where somebody has to manipulate you, where somebody has to tell you, oh, so 1 million and all that. Now, the question you want to ask me, how did I know that this verse 6 is not talking about the volume of how much you give or you don't give? Look at the next verse. Now, I will use the next verse to convince you, and we'll go back to verse 6 again. Look at verse 7. Every man according as he has proposed in his heart, so let him give. Oh. He says, it doesn't matter how much you want to give. If he said, according to what you propose, whatever you decide. Oh, now, if this verse 7 is saying, it doesn't matter how much you decide, just give. It means that it will contradict most of the teachings on verse 6 that people give. People say, well, God says, if you sow a little, you will get a little. If you sow a lot of money, you'll get a lot. If that's the case, it means verse 7 is completely against verse 6. Because verse 7 says, it doesn't matter. Just propose in your heart. Whatever you propose, give. It means, if verse 6 really means what people teach about it, it means verse 7 doesn't make sense. Because it's Apostle Paul then telling me that it doesn't matter if I get blessed a little. Are you telling me it doesn't matter if I get blessed a little? You're telling me whatever I propose in my heart, I should give. No, the reason why verse 6 seems to be at war with verse 7 is the way men are interpreting verse 6.
And I hope our viewers could be able to pick up the real definition of what sparing is.
It means that if you're given being driven by somebody's persuasive words, they have to, you know, pass it. They have to drive you. They have to use persuasive words to propel you. And you see, in fact,
because your orifice is narrow. Yes.
Your relation, your understanding. That's why
it's narrow based. So
you see in some churches.
So you will need force, a lot of force.
To drive it through.
The physics, you know, the force and the distance and the pressure. So you have a narrow orifice. It's not based on the wide broader flow of grace. So you need pressure. And so that is sowing sparingly.
Instead, if you are sowing under being driven by pressure of men, if you are sowing your seed under that, he said you will be getting results in that same realm. Now, it's not, again, I repeat, this is not a teaching about how much money you give. This is how people interpret 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. It is an ungodly interpretation. Why did I say that? Because the next verse 7 says, whatever you purpose in your heart, give. Now, let's look at this. So let him give. Now, watch this. Not what?
Grudging.
So we don't understand what verse 6 is about. Can you see that? This clarifies verse 6. That means those people who are sowing sparingly are the people who are doing it with pressure, grudgingly. They are being driven. Can you see that? Mm-hmm. Now he says, look at the next
unforced,
one. They have been unforced. So please, 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 let us not get 2 Corinthians 9:6 twisted. It has been used many times by people to teach people to give so much money so they can get so much blessing, or to give little money and you get little blessing. That is not what it's saying, because verse 7 clarifies verse 6. Verse 7 simply says, you know what? If you give grudgingly, it then means then you don't even understand the grace of God. Why did I say that? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 8 from verse 1 talks about the people in Macedonia. Mm-hmm. He said these people, out of their poverty, mm-hmm. can you see that? Out of the depth of their poverty, they gave within their means, even way beyond their means. And the question is, who pressured them? Who motivated them? In fact, is it not amazing that in the body of Christ today, we have some ministers who have become professional offering raisers? People who are pros, they are professional. It means that if those people go to a particular church to minister, even there are some brethren in those churches who don't give at all, or they give absolutely nothing, or they give as meager as possible. And when a minister is a professional offering raiser, comes to the church and uses those words to drive them, he's going to drive up emotions and push them grudgingly. He will move them through that narrow pipe we talked about. And Apostle Paul said, no, you can't do that. If you're going to sow your seed because you've been pressured through a narrow pipe, he said, that's the kind of result you're going to be getting. Mm-hmm. So this is not about how much you give or you don't give. This is about the fact that, do you understand the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you understand the love of God, that even though he laid down his life for us, we ought also to lay down our life for the brethren? That's why the people in Macedonia, when the Apostle Paul started in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, we didn't see anyone or where they were driven. The Bible says, out of the depth of their poverty, they gave. And he says, in fact, if you read from verse 3 to verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 8, he says they first gave themselves to the Lord. Can you see that? There's a foundation to their giving. You see, people today in our current time, we are so much impatient. Ministers are so impatient to make people give without the correct foundation of God's love and grace. And when giving is done outside God's love and grace, it takes you all the way back to Malachi 3. That's what happens. And we read that yesterday. And you see, again, what we are trying to do is we are actually busting this particular myth in the body of Christ. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6 is not talking about the fact that if you sow much more money, you get more money. If you sow less money, you get less money. No. How did I know that? Because verse 7 clarifies verse 6. Mm-hmm. Verse 7 simply says, well, don't give under the pressure of man. He said, don't be like a narrow pipe that they have to drive the thing through. That is what verse 6 was talking about. Can you see? This got nothing to do with how much money. It has nothing to do with the volume of your tithe and offering. It's got nothing to do with it. It's about the fact that, are you doing that because you've been pushed or pressured? If you have been pressured, it means you go, forget about the giving, forget about the offering. Go back and learn the grace of our Lord Jesus. Go back and learn the love of Christ. Bible says we have not so learned Christ. Go back and learn Christ instead of you being pushed to about how to give. Now let's look at this. And I think the reason why there's so many charlatans in the body of Christ today is because there are so many people who have no idea what the grace of our Lord Jesus is. And that's why they're being pressured to give.
Yeah, if you just get anything from 2 Corinthians 9 verses, apart from the redefinition of what it means to be, what a spiraling sower is, an abundant sower is, apart from that redefinition that we've got clarity on this morning, then again, it's something like the challenge here that we should broaden the base of our understanding. Because if you don't broaden the base of your understanding on the revelation of grace yourself, then you'll be guinea pigs among for all those challenges.
Who
is going to pressure? Because your orifice is already narrow.
Now, so you've actually made the great point in saying that the sparingly and the bountifully there is the base of the revelation of the love of God that you have. It's the base of your revelation of God's love.
And then the challenges will not stop on that, that one alone. Apart from putting that pressure on you, I'm twisting just like camel rubber coming to dispossess you of those things. Then they bring you back. To what you say, they relegate your life back to Malachi 3:13 and they suspend the grace of God. And you know, when we started the knockout series, we were telling you in Colossians how men will spoil, how men are capable of spoiling you and they robbing you. You know, if somebody come in that way and you have not broadened your base, apart from the pressure that they put you and they untwist and they dispossess you of your things, they bring you back. Relegate you back and suspend the grace of God, then they bring you under curse. you don't understand that? They bring you under the curse, under the Malachia curse again, because they have suspended the grace of God, and they bring you back to that place. And then what you find in that place, you now find the experiences, maybe if I had so much, then I wouldn't have this devourer. It's because somebody has taken you away from the grace from mm. Avenue of Grace and push you into the law. But mm. the responsibility, as we see yesterday, was see to it yourself. It is your responsibility mm. to broaden your base.
And Galatians 2:21, I do not set aside the grace of God.
Yes, do not set aside the grace of God. Broaden this base mm. of understanding on the revelation of the grace of God. And mm. that is the way mm. that you can give. You have no point in giving. You just have to keep your, mm. you better keep your money or anything unless you understand.
Because you're going to do it grudgingly then.
And you see in that second Corinthians was talking that these people understand they gave themselves over to the law for. So if you have not given yourself over to the law, you have no business in participating in giving
in
any way.
Of God's grace.
And then when you went back to that 1 John 3:16 was telling it, we perceive the love of God. So somebody has not done any of perception of
perception
God's
word. First of God's,
of God's love. Mm. So what is the point of giving to the brethren? Mm. No matter what our noble giving to the brethren is, because we perceive. Well, so you must do the business of perception. Somebody, that is what the work of your preacher. Yeah, until he has gotten you to the point of you can perceive the love of God, until you have grown to the world to the point you can perceive the love of God, you have no business in giving. It is pointless.
And then, see, there's something that really the Holy Spirit ministered something to me as you were talking, and I say, and I need to share that with people. And you see, what the Holy Spirit was trying to minister to me in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, from verse 6, verse 7 is simply saying the reason why it was penned down in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 9, that let every man do according to as he purposes in his heart. Let him give according to his purposes. This is the reason. He's saying that your heart is like a conduit. Okay. It means, for example, if you have a room that can take four things, if I put four things in a room that can take four things, that will look like a bounty. That will look like it's filled up. If a room can take only two things and I put two things inside, it will look like it's what? It's filled up. Mm. So what the Holy Ghost is simply saying in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7 is this. By the time you give, according to the measure of the revelation of Christ you have, to you that's bounty. To you are full. It means you are exercising your giving in accordance to the revelation of God that you have. But if somebody tries to pressure you to give beyond the revelation of Christ that you have, then what happens is it becomes of grudgingly, and it looks like the sparingly thing that we're talking about. So it means then that giving should only be commensurate to the revelation of the grace of God and the love of God that you have received into your heart that propels you to give. So what we are simply saying then is this verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 9 is simply saying that let every man purpose in his heart. Can you say that? Let giving be done based on the revelation of God's love and grace. Yeah, I think some ministers, who actually, manipulate and merchandise people are not as concerned as people having that revelation of God's love as they are concerned about getting money
of them,
of people. Even if they have to force that resource through a tiny orifice, they will make sure it doesn't matter how wide your diameter what they are concerned about is they don't really care about the base or the foundation of your love or of God's love in your heart. What matters to them is they just want to get the thing out of your hands, and that's why because so much wants to come through a tiny orifice, it comes with so much pressure. There's so much pressure. There's so much grudginess. There's so much pressure through that pipe. And that's what it is simply talking about. So please, anytime you read 2 Corinthians 9, 6, understand it's not a scripture to use to tell people that, you know what, in 2017, if you want so much money to come back to you, you need to give bountifully. And if you give little today, little will come back to you. That's not what it is simply saying. It's simply saying that when you're giving, make sure that your giving is born out of the revelation of the grace of God and love of God. Don't let it be under pressure. So yes, that's what we see there.
Yes, I'm looking forward to this time in 2017, the body of Christ, that we have known that we have some minister that specialize in raising offering. We have people that specialize in teaching us how to perceive God's love. You know, people that
how to respond to
God's love. And if we see any minister that has a good heart but is not doing enough on this side, you just have to know that your work is cut out for you. And then you just have to make people to broaden that base of understanding, to broaden the base of the understanding of the grace of God, that the people know what the grace of the Lord is, and people can perceive. You just have to help them to increase,
to see it,
to perceive the love of God. And in that point, it's from that point, if you have done that successfully, where then you can move to, then you have the basis for giving, to talk about giving. But you just have to do this job, the job of making the people to understand. You have to broaden the base that the giving is not coming out of narrow orifice. You have to broaden the base of the understanding that it is hinged on the revelation of the grace of God.
Man, so it means people give because they say, I'm blessed, and I think I need to bless others.
Yes.
That is the foundation. That when we say the grace of God, it means you are given knowing that you are blessed, not given so that you can be blessed. And you see, that's what we say. Now look at the second section of 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. And let's see what the Holy Spirit has to say for them. See what it says. It says, not grudgingly, of necessity. Mm-hmm. It means not because there's a need or a demand for it. Mm-hmm. And again, the Apostle Paul is simply saying by the Holy Spirit, God is not as interested in the size of the giving. Now, I think most people who quote verse 6, in most cases, they run over verse 7. They don't want to stay in verse 7. Yeah. Because verse 7 will say, just give according to what you propose in your heart. Just give according to how much revelation of Christ can make you respond. Give according to that. Don't try. Most ministers
don't even go to 7.
They don't even go to 7. They just
they stop
give according to your purpose.
Because that verse 7 will defeat that purpose. You know,
of verse 6. It will make it seem like a wrong interpretation.
Because they are going off it in the wrong way. Because they, you know.
Yeah.
Stop
it's true. So. Because verse 7 will mess up verse 6. Because
if they go without understanding, for those who are going without understanding.
It's true. So
we hear more of verse 6 than verse 7. That is
or 2 Corinthians 9.
You hear more of 6. I'm sure some people know 6. They don't even know 7 is there.
7 says it doesn't matter how much you give. It doesn't matter. As long as it's based on how far you have walked with God. Just give according to, don't be pressured to give beyond your capacity.
Not of necessity, no matter how they are saying.
Not because there's necessary. A need. Not because, and you see, this is very important. I repeat what I said earlier today. Paul is a very bad salesman.
Hmm.
Very bad. Because how can you be a good salesman when you are bringing a product to people and you are telling them things that will actually make them not to buy the product?
And funny enough, you know, it's natural to respond to needs because logically you see there's a need. But he said, no, don't give out of necessity. That is really, really, really mind-blowing.
That you have to give. Don't give because you have to give. Now,
yes.
You know, in churches, people say, okay, you know what, this is, in the new year, we have a project, and this and that. And
you, it makes logical sense.
You have to give.
It makes logical sense too because there is a need.
And again, you know, this word necessity, we can also, we can look at it in a different perspective. We can simply say, well, if I know I'm not blessed unless I give.
Yeah.
And I want to be blessed, then I have no choice but to give. You see, he said, who gives out of necessity? You are giving because you think if you don't give, you're not blessed. That's why people are pressured to give. And when you give and it's not born out of the fact that you know you are blessed, yes, and as a blessed person, you're meant to bless others. That is the right foundation to give. And that's why we repeat again, 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul did say, even if I give all my goods to the poor, and it's not born out of love. He said, what's the meaning of that? That's irrelevant.
Pointless.
Now watch this. As I give all my goods, not 90%, not 95%.
At that point,
Paul said, if I give 100%, and I think ministers who tell people to give a lot more, say to this year they will tell you this year you need to show God that you are coming out of sacrifice. You have to sacrifice all to God. Sacrifice. Let God see your sacrifice. But the Apostle Paul said, see, in 1 Corinthians 13, even if I sacrifice everything to the poor,
leaving nothing.
And it's not born out of revelation of God's love. He said, what's the meaning of that? He said, it's nothing. It profits nothing. It's useless. So now I think we then see that 2 Corinthians 9, 7 is simply saying it's not about how much. He said, let every man give according to what he proposed. It doesn't matter what the person is giving. It doesn't matter the volume. And it should not be out of because there's a necessity, because there's a compulsion. He said, no, it shouldn't be out of that. Now look at the next phrase. This is very, very great. The next phrase says, for God, can you see that? For God loves the person that gives 1 million.
No.
For God loves the person
that gives in
that can say this year 2017 is the year in which I'm going to actually sacrifice everything so that God can also pour down everything into my life as well. No. Or this year I'm going to give an offering to God I've never given before. Some people will tell you, oh, in year 2017, you want God to do something in your life you've never done before? You need to give an offering you've never given before. And you wonder, where did this man get all these statements from? It's not in the scriptures. Now, it didn't say, for God loves a person who is given an offering he has never given before. That's not what it said.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say?
It doesn't say, for God loves the one that gives in foreign currency.
It didn't say that.
Denomination.
It didn't say that. It said, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now,
you know, this convention has been a game of competition, you know, between you must give beyond this if you want it to be better than your other siblings. You know, they are just bringing strife in the church and people competing to win God's favor.
Mm.
And they're promoting the spirit of worldliness and competition and covetousness. Some people that have no business, no idea, who has not developed the capacity to for a million naira project, you know, they start giving to sow to get a million, you know, to sow up to get to. People have not even had the capacity. They are not in the position. They don't have the vision for that. But because in the on the pulpit, they parade and promote this, sow up to get this, do this to get into this. You see the competition. You see the spirit of worthiness. You see covetousness.
Now I think as you're talking, there is something I think we need to address. And I think this really applies to not just ministers who are ministering on the pulpit, also the televangelists.
Yes.
You know, these days it's quite fashionable. And there's not, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this. It's quite fashionable for ministries to want to be a blessing to the destitute and the poor. People who are in famine, people who are undergoing, you know, who have experienced earthquakes and all of these natural disasters.
Bring the gospel,
and we're trying to bring the gospel to them. And a lot of ministry now, which is very good, are actually having this understanding that they have to take resources to those people who are suffering. And then they raise offerings and they say, you need to give to the coffers of the church so that the church can be a blessing. Well, let's not even talk about the fact that there are tithes and offerings already in the church before they begin to ask for offerings for the destitute. But that's never the issue. The issue is, some ministers believe that, well, we can drive people and motivate people. It doesn't matter how, as long as...
get it done.
Because there's a need on ground. There's a need on ground. Now, before you go ahead with that kind of mentality, listen. When this 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9 was written, I hope you don't forget
context.
The fact that in this context, Paul was gathering these resources
for the saints.
For the saints. Who were in famine, who were in trouble.
Yeah.
He was not doing this because of saying, I want to, as an apostle, I need to get my benefit. No. This chapter 8 and chapter 9, 2 Corinthians, was because there was a need. Don't forget that. Because if you read chapter 8, it will tell you, chapter 9, it was because there was a need of the saints. That's why they were gathered. But then, how can you come back, Paul, and say, in 2 Corinthians 9, 7, and say, it's not of necessity?
The motivation trumps.
Paul is simply saying, even though I said we're gathering this money or these resources for the need of the saints, but Corinthian brethren, don't do this out of necessity. Don't do it because you have to do it. Now, can you see that? How can you teach giving to people and you tell them, don't give because you have to give? No. can ministers of God take that risk and tell people that today as you're going to give, don't give because there's a pressure to give. Don't give because if you don't give, what would the church do? Or don't give because if you don't give, what's going to happen to the poor? He said, don't give because you are being pressured to give or because you have to. How can the Apostle Paul say that in 2 Corinthians 9, 7, when the very reason why he was asking for an offering is because there was a need of the saints?
So in other words, he's telling us and encouraging us to us, to whom the head of the world has come, that we have not come into a situation in which we have not found an example in the scripture. So any pastor, any ministry cannot say what is happening to us, there is a urgent need, urgent appeal.
We are raising money.
Urgent appeal for this. We have an example here that for the saints, for the gathering for the saints, we are still blinded by this, the law of grace.
He said the need shouldn't be that so critical that it drives people to give outside of grace.
God's grace.
That's what he's simply saying.
No matter
The need should not be that so serious that it drives people to give
as,
so that it not comes to the point that giving sparingly. There's so much pressure. They are trying to give through a narrow orifice of God's understanding. You are trying to pass the giving thing through a very narrow pipe of God's grace. He said, no, that shouldn't happen. But this was being written by a man who actually started to talk to them about giving because there was a need. So that's what we've come to find. And then the last phrase is what we're going to dwell on now.
Yeah.
It said, for God loves now a cheerful giver. Now, you see, he said, what is important to God? Now, I think if you are listening to us, I want you to really think about this deeply. He said, what is important to God? What matters to God is that the person giving is given with joy and cheerfulness. In fact, a translation says God loves a hilarious giver. Now, God loves a giver who is given knowing that, oh, I'm giving because I know I'm blessed. God has blessed me so much. And I want to give as a response to the goodness and the favor of God that is already upon my life. He said, that is what is important to God. I repeat, that is what is important to God. So if given a bit, a tiny bit or £1 or whatever currency is, is what will make you express the grace of God. He said that is what is more important to God.
But you know, some characters have gone ahead. Mm. It means they have mastered this game in such a way. They know that people are giving sorrowfully. They know they have, they force it out. But again, they will not stop at that. They will abuse the people further and to say they must come up with joy. You know, somebody is crying and weeping inside because they just want to see that they tick the point. In 2 Corinthians 9, they will not say, oh, I know you are feeling bad, you are crying and everything inside. But this, you must stick the point, you know.
So that God can bless you.
So you must come up with joy. No matter how you must come up with joy and the thing.
Okay, but, now, as good as that is, thank you, you mentioned that. Now, let's see 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and let's see what it has to say.
And no, I don't think we can get to that.
No, to see that joy.
We cannot get to that. We cannot, because the time we are almost close to an hour now. So we can never get to that now for today.
Okay.
But so today, in conclusion, I just want to wrap up this episode today about, I just want to give this analogy. I just hope our audience will be able to follow it. Mm. I know you have applied to some institutions in which they use point-based system, you know, just like you go for an exam and everything, they have a scheme. You know, processes where they use point-based. You know, they have a scheme in which they judge. So if you fall, no matter what you do or how noble or any other thing, if it's not inside those points that is already set, you don't get scores for it. Even some of them, they make it so transparent. They tell you, oh, for this point one, it is 100. If you have this, you have a tick for this. So you just need to have a tick in all of these things. It's as transparent like this. Mm. So I want you to see this episode today, the 2 Corinthians chapter 8, that we have the point. It's a point-based system. It's in a way, I'm doing the analogy of our giving. It's a point-based system on grace. Mm. So the point that the Lord is looking at is that grace. Mm. There are points here we have mentioned, because today was like talking about the motivation. Why should we give then? Mm. So that we have raised those
blessed
points.
Mm.
We've raised the point on the grace of God that you're already blessed. So in your giving, you just have to check in your heart. Is it coming from the understanding that you're already blessed? Then you have that point. You know, you satisfy that point. Mm. You satisfy the examiner. You know, God was looking for a cheerful giver. Do you understand that already you are blessed? Okay, let's see. Is that out of necessity? You know, is it grudgingly? What, how is the orifice? Is it so narrow that what is coming out is just sparingly? So you have those points, a tick, present or absent in it. And imagine somebody doing anything outside the point, you know. God doesn't love a cheerful girl. It is just pointless. Mm. So there are some givings that are pointless. And that's why he was saying nothing. The last verse was saying God loves a cheerful giver. Meaning there are other givers. There are grudging givers. You know, people that give out of necessity, they are prayer givers.
It's not about the volume, not at all. It's not about the volume.
About the volume or denomination. Mm. So we are trusting the Lord that you are going to take this word further, you know, to digest it and ruminate. Mm. So we hope if this blesses you, if you are not really offended, I hope that you will share this. You leave this principle, you live on it, and you will share it with others. So should you have any other questions, we are open to it. Mm. So any questions and any comments on Expose 24 page, you can just leave those there, and as the Lord give us the ability, we will do it. So next week we are going to continue, because you can only say that we've not even got into verse 8.
No.
So again, you still have to be part of this. You just have to listen to everything. You listen to yesterday, home today. We still are on the journey on this to understand to give it. Mm. So to next week Saturday, 7 p.m. UK time, we are going to continue, and we hope that you will join us. So stay blessed and bye.
God bless you.